Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all the many blessings that you have given to us, God, the ability to pray, the teaching and preaching of your word, and the ability to read your word at will. Just whenever we desire, God, we each and every one of us have the ability to open up your book and to see what you have spoken. God, I pray that you would just be with each and every one of us. Help us to live sanctified lives. Help us to continue on in the faith with perseverance and boldness so that we may see many others come to know you and who you truly are. Father, the fullness of your character and the grace that you've given through your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray that you would be with the Jacobs family for them as Jordy's been sick. Jordan, pray that you just continue to be with them. Just help the doctors exercise discernment and to figure out what exactly the issue is. Pray also for the ISCU family and the issues that they're facing. Russ, God, I pray that you just be with him and just continue to watch over them. Give them peace in this situation, though it may be difficult and all things. Pray also that you would be with the Klux family, I believe it was, just as they've lost a mother and a wife. I pray that you just be with them. Minister to their hearts, minister to their spirits. Just give them peace and understanding in this time of great sorrow. Help them to rejoice. If it seems that she ministered God to some capacity, pray that you would just continue to be with them and just give them peace, knowing that they have a reason to believe, God, that she will be with you and she is with you now. God, I pray that you would just continue to be with each and every one of us, be with Damon as he leads us, the McLean family, as they seek a location for their church plant. Pray that you would just raise up more people after your own heart, God. Help us to glorify and honor you. And God, I pray that you would just please have mercy on me this morning so that I may speak with truth about your character, God. And I pray that I would not misrepresent you in any way. And I pray that you would just give me grace in this moment so that I may teach with clarity. Please forgive me for any way that I've fallen short. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to start, or continue, rather, in chapter 2. And we're in paragraph 2 starting today. And we will probably make it through about half of this paragraph. So we'll go ahead and start off by reading the second paragraph. And we'll go ahead and read a portion of it. We won't read the full thing. But I'll stop at the point where we will end for the day entirely. So it says, God, having all life, glory, goodness, blessedness in and of himself, is alone in and unto himself all sufficient, not standing in need of any creature which he hath made, nor deriving any glory from them, but only manifesting his own glory in, by, unto, and upon them. He is the alone fountain of all being, through whom, and to whom are all things. And he hath most sovereign dominion over all creatures, to do by them, for them, or upon them, whatsoever he pleaseth. And that's where we're going to stop. Just for sake of time, I want to be able to cover everything in its fullness. And I have admitted my inability to complete a full paragraph in one lesson with the time allotted. So we'll pick up and we're going to start off and we're just going to kind of go line by line, word by word even to some degree, and just kind of dive deep into what the confession is teaching us. What the confession is essentially affirming about what Scripture teaches about God. So It says, God, having all life, glory, goodness, blessedness, in and of Himself. So the framers of the confession, they're really, really particular about the words that they use. And that's rightfully so, because words mean everything to us. It's words, you know, when speaking of the Trinity, you know, all it takes is a few words and we become modalists. You know, we cannot neglect to take care when we're speaking about God and His character. We can't neglect anything. Like we have to be very careful. We cannot be careless about the character of God when we're speaking of Him, because if we do, we essentially blaspheme God and we make Him out to be something that is false, and we can be very quickly fallen into heresy. So it starts out, it says, God having all life. So the very word having, it's indicative of possession. So God has all life. And that's what we're going to start with. God possesses all life in and of Himself. That the word have is very important, because it's really beautiful, because in and of Himself, God possesses all life. So it's not something, we do not possess life in and of ourselves. The only life, like all life that is had, is given by God. It proceeds from God and who He is. And this isn't necessarily just referring to the life of creation that He gives, but it's stating that from eternity past, God in and of Himself is life. And therefore, all life proceeds forth from God and who He is. So God is the giver of life. Therefore, He has the right and the liberty to take that same life away from His creation. The passage, you know, for this, it says in John 5:26, it says, "For the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life on Himself, in and of Himself." So God has life fully within Himself. He cannot die. He has no beginning and no end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and so is the Son. They have life in and of themselves. They need nothing apart from themselves. They do not need food or water. They do not perish as we perish. From eternity past to eternity future, you know, God is life. He possesses all life. All life is God's. He is the rightful owner. Any life that is because God has given it. And God, who gives, can also take away. That's not the only thing God possesses. That's not the only thing that rightfully belongs to God. We're going to talk about a few of those that it speaks of in the confession. Glory. God possesses all glory in and of Himself. God Himself is glory. And any glory that is seen is of God. All glory is to be to God. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 reads, "And He said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." God is the God of glory. He is the only one who is deserving of our glory. We went through the five solas, and you know, we're all familiar now, and many of you before that, even the phrase "soli Deo gloria," glory be to God alone. God is the only one who deserves glory, because God is the only one who truly possesses glory in and of Himself. Any glory that is seen throughout the world, because there is some glory in creation, but that we can observe, but that is the glory of God that God essentially places on His creation. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But the glory is owned by God. and it should be given to God and God alone. Psalm 148:13 says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven." Now, His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heaven and the earth. We cannot really comprehend the fullness of God's glory because that's who God is. It's intrinsically connected to the being of God. It's all His. He, in and of Himself, has all glory. No created thing has any glory in and of itself, nor is any part of creation worthy of such glory. So, soli Deo glory, for the glory of God alone, because God is the rightful owner of all glory. It is due unto Him. The next thing, it says God also, God possesses goodness. God having all life, glory, and goodness in and of Himself. Goodness is the next one. God is inherently good. All things that are good proceed from God. All things that are good are God's in possession. It says in Psalms 119:68, it says, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." And we all are familiar with Romans 3:12. It says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." We know that in our human nature, God is inherently good and we are inherently evil. That's all we know how to do apart from God. God has to be the one that gives the good. God is the giver of good things. He's the giver of life. And He is the giver of good. He's the giver of goodness. The reality that we face is that we don't possess goodness at all in and of ourselves. But God possesses all, so He bestows it upon us, to a sense, for His own glory. He doesn't do it for us. He doesn't do it so we get any glory. But if it's not ours, like if the goodness isn't ours, then the glory that the praise that we may get from doing good is not rightfully ours. So that must all be directed towards God. God owns all life, all glory, all goodness. It's His. That's in and of Himself. That's who He is. This is His character. And he manifests it on His creation, as we're going to see here shortly. It says also blessedness. In regards to blessedness, we're going through the Beatitudes. So we've understood the definition of what it means to be blessed, what it means to be blessed, happiness. It's a state of contentment or well-being, according to Webster's Dictionary. But in relation to God, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it's typically referring to a sense of praise. So, there's two sides that I think can both be applied, and I want to bring both of those to the forefront here, so you can see the truth that is in a sense, both the sense that we understand what it means to be blessed, and then also it says in Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in a sense, like that's saying, praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are to praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the other sense, we can also see and understand that God is in and of Himself content. He is in and of Himself contented. He is happy. All blessedness, all happiness is God's. On the same token, we can also state and rightly say that all praise is rightfully God's. Because if we praise anything, now, other than God, if we praise anything other than God, we are giving essentially pearls to swine. That's not the context, but I mean, more or less, we're offering things to something that's unworthy. And when I say praise, it's important for us to define that. And we all know that true praise is worshiping God, giving praise to the Lord, thanks to God. We have praise and worship bands, but then on the other side, in a secular sense, you know, we will give praise, like we will praise someone for doing a good job. This is not the same definition of praise. Could it be? Possibly, but they are distinctly different. It's completely different from commending someone for doing something well. It is giving a worshipful praise to the rightful owner of all praise. He is blessed in and of himself. He is content, and he is the owner. He is the rightful owner of all praise and worship, because no one else is worthy. It's in and of himself, God, that owns these things. He is the possessor of all life, of all glory, of all goodness, and all blessedness. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, however you pronounce that, I don't know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Potentate can be translated as a prince or a high minister. I think the HCSB translates it sovereign. New King James also says potentate, if I'm not mistaken. All praise belongs to God. It is his, and it is his alone. We take no praise for ourselves. It doesn't mean that we should not be commended, but it does mean that we are to limit that. Is there anything inherently wrong with giving someone a commendation for doing something? I don't think so, but we must be careful not to elevate that to a level that is unworthy of it. Instead, we should praise God. We should praise God for the good things that He is doing through us. That's something that we must understand. The next phrase, we'll just go back to the confession, pick up a little bit. It says, God, having all life, glory, goodness, blessedness, in and of himself. That means there is nothing, this is not derived from anything else. All these things are in and of God. They are within his character. And it goes on to say, is alone in and unto himself all sufficient, not standing in need of any creature which he hath made, nor deriving any glory from them. And we'll kind of break that down and go slowly. But God alone possesses all these things. In the creation, all things. God does not derive any life from these things. God does not derive any glory from these things. God is not good because of these things. He does not derive any goodness because of these things. He also does not derive any blessedness from these things. See, God doesn't have more glory because of his creation. God doesn't have more glory because he created us. He's not more good because he created us. He doesn't have more life because he created life. He created us. He doesn't gain anything from creation. Job 22:2-3 says, can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? God doesn't profit anything from His creation. God has no gain from us. And that's something that we have to realize. God is altogether glorious if He never created anything. God is altogether good if He never created anything. God is altogether life if He never gave life to anything else. God is altogether glorious if He never created a thing. So we are, in a sense, dispensable. Like, we are not inherently valuable, but God, in His grace and mercy, created us to show His glory, to manifest His glory. We are not God's glory, but we're essentially the stage in which God shows His fullness of His character. We do not give God anything that He did not have from eternity past. Acts 17:24-25 says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. God does not stand in need of anything that we can offer. He doesn't need our evangelism, but He commands it. He doesn't need our obedience, but He commands it. He doesn't need our life, but He commands us to repent and believe. God does not need us, but He chose, out of the richness of His mercy, to show grace, to show love towards a people that He calls to Himself. We won't go too far down that path because that's a different chapter. I think that's coming soon, if I'm not mistaken. I guess it depends on how you define soon. But God doesn't need us. God doesn't need anything. He has all things in and of Himself. But He set the stage to show His goodness and His grace, but also His justice and His wrath. And this is all playing out according to His plan. He's the screenwriter, He's the director, He's the producer. He's got it all covered, and He's got a hand. He's got a hand in all of it. He's the end all be all. He's the utmost. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But really, that analogy falls to pieces, just as any analogy does, because all analogies fall to pieces if you take them to the farthest extent, especially in relation to God. We'll continue on. It says, He is the alone fountain of all being. God is, in fact, the source of all things. All life, goodness, blessedness, and glory flow from the fountain that is our holy and righteous God. So God, picture a fountain that pours out water. That it is the source. God is the source. God is the spring of life flowing from the heavens. God is He's also the spring of goodness, glory, and blessedness. From praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Now it's a beautiful, beautiful hymn. But from God flows all things. God is the fountain of all being. He is the source. Confession continues on and says, of whom, through whom, and to whom are all things. And He hath most sovereign dominion over all creatures. So we'll start off and we'll just break it down a little bit, because if you read that really fast, it's easy just to kind of skim over the meaning of, of what it means. Of whom means that all things are essentially of God, in that all things belong to Him. You know, we have the President of the United States, Donald Trump. He is belonging to the United States government. You know, we have the God. We have God, and we are all of God. God is not of us, but we are of God. God is that, the being who possesses. God is the one whom all things belong to. Through whom means it was through God that all things were created. All things are of God. All things belong to God. Through whom, it's through God, all things were created through Him. Through Him all things came into being. The next is to whom. Any one of us here has given a gift or a letter. You know, there's the sender and the addressee. You know, you've got a to and a from. The reality is, God did all things to Himself. He created all things, and it was for the glory of Himself. It was, God was the sender, and He was also the addressee. He did it for Himself. He gave a gift to Himself, in a sense. All things are belonging to God. All things were created through God, and all things are to God. Confession continues. It says to do by them, for them, or upon them, whatsoever Himself pleaseth. Now, by them, by way of His creation, He does what He pleases. So we are the created. So God, by way of us, we are the medium to which God does what He pleases. It says, for them, for His creation. So God does things for us. He does things for our benefit, if it's what He pleases. And then upon us, to do by them, for them, or upon them, whatsoever He please. So upon. It's on His creation. Read passage. Revelations 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And God created all things for His pleasure. This is kind of repeating somewhat of what we've studied in the last couple weeks with the previous paragraph. But God does all things for His pleasure. Like, why does God do what He does? He does it to show glory to Himself. He does it to bring honor to Himself. He does it for His own good pleasure. And it's according to His most righteous and perfect will. First Timothy 6:15, we'll go back there just for a brief moment. It says, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the King of all kings, and He is the Lord of all lords. It's really easy for us to get kind of lost or to miss kind of how deep that really goes. He is the King over every single leader in this world. In this earthly realm and the heavenly realm. He is the King over everything. He is the Lord over everything. The Lord of all lords. The King of all kings. To Him be the praise and honor and glory. Romans 11:34-36 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's what we get. All things are of Him. All things belong to Him. All things were created through Him. And all things were created to Him. All things were created for Him. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. All glory be to God, because all things belong to Him. He created all things. And He gets glory for all things. I think that's a good time to go ahead and put a period. We'll stop there, and that's actually pretty close to time. I'll just close with a statement. All things belong to God. All things were created by God, and all things are for God. So we should give Him what is rightfully His. We should give Him the honor and praise and glory. And with that, we'll close and we'll start the regular service in about 15 minutes or so. So we'll close in a word of prayer and y'all fellowship. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, thank You for this day. Thank You just for allowing us again to be gathered together in Your name. Pray that You would be with Damon as he comes before us and preaches Your word. God, I pray that You would just speak to our hearts, convict us for where we've fallen short, and encourage us so that we can continue on with faith. God, pray that You would just continue to be with us in all things, and I pray that Your kingdom would come and Your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.